with our heads. Dear Father, Lord, thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this day, Lord, that we're allowed to come into your presence, Lord, and just, you know, study your word and really read and try to glean and learn from the scriptures, Lord, and just pray for this class, Lord, and pray for the day, Lord, and pray for our individual lives and just keep us, you know, throughout all the things we go through, Lord, throughout the weeks, throughout this year and the next, Lord, just be with us and pray for the services upstairs, Lord, that we listen and have the right attitude and pray for the brother ministering to us, Lord. Just have your way with us in all things that we do and lead us and guide us. In your person of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians 1. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. So Paul is addressing, you know, the church in Corinth, and he's basically opening up the sermon and saying, you know, let God bless you in all things and in all knowledge and your studying of the word. In verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So here, it's kind of what I've been trying to touch on in the last few classes, is the unity of the body of Christ. He's talking about how we need to be unified and there's no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. So we're all different people, we're all of our different opinions on things, but how do we come to the same mind? It's by, you know, submitting ourselves to Christ and getting into the mind of Christ and getting into the word and meditating on the word and reading the scriptures daily and really studying. In verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. So these are, in a way, these are different denominations, or these are different believers coming together at this one place to hear Paul talk. And he's saying that, you know, there's contentions just even in this church. It's kind of like when Brother Branham would go to preach, or he'd have a meeting. There'd be people, Presbyterian, there'd be Baptist, there'd be Methodist, Pentecost. There'd be all different types of people, you know, in this one place coming to hear Brother Branham talk. And I hear Paul is coming to talk, and Paul is coming to address the people. And he's saying, well, some of you say, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I have a Cephas, or, you know, and there's these different ministers that they maybe claim, or the different denominations that they claim. And then verse 13, he says, is Christ divided? You know, like, what, like, why is it that, you know, there's all these different denominations? It's like the same thing we have today. It's like there's all these different denominations and all these different beliefs, and it's like, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm Baptist, and I'm Methodist, and Presbyterian, and there's different denominations. So then he's saying in this verse, is Christ divided? Like, why are there so many different denominations? So he's, in continue on in verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So I thank God I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. So he's saying, you say you of this denomination or that of this person, or you follow this person or that person, but you know, were you baptized in their name? You know, and were you, is that really who you hold your experience on? Are you following Christ or are you following a man? Because when you follow a man, you follow, you know, a certain person, that's when the division will come, because the people say, I am of Apollos or Cephas or this person. But he's saying Christ isn't divided. Christ isn't here, there, that he's one thing, and there's one truth, and we all need to come to that truth and come under, you know, the headship of Christ. And under that, you know, we won't have to have all these arguments and contentions over what's going on and who's right about what. But if we all just get into the Word and get into Christ, then, you know, we're not going to be divided, because we're all going to have the same Holy Ghost leading all of us in the same truth. And that's why I think I've said this before, but that's why that we can all go to meetings and go to youth camps, and we can go to different places, and we can all, you know, people from Alabama, or people from Texas, or people from Washington, or people from different parts of the state, even different areas of the country. Like, there's people like in India that Brother Aaron and Brother Luis have preached to, and in different parts, and Brother Branham had many mission trips to Africa. It's that all these, that we regardless of where you are, where you're born, or where you've been, you know, the truth can reach you, and the truth is in the Bible. So if you have the Holy Spirit guiding you and interpreting the Bible for you, then, you know, you can talk to someone across the world who's never even been to your church about the exact same word and the exact same things that they're being preached in your church are being preached in their church as well. So the truth is, you know, as long as you have the Holy Spirit guiding you, you can find truth, and you can talk to anyone else who has that same Spirit guiding you, and you can also talk about that same truth with them. So it's not, you know, a man, it's not you know, some denomination. It's not that we're off the world, that we have our own ideas. It's that we're following Christ, because, you know, Christ isn't divided. So if Christ isn't divided, then we meet someone else who's also, you know, had an experience with Christ. We can also talk to them about the Word the same way that it's been revealed to us, because Christ isn't divided, you know. We'll have the same revelation. And that's why, you know, God continuously reveals His message, you know, through His prophets, so that there can be clarity in what God is trying to give to the people, you know. And it's not that, you know, he does it through a man, but it's not that we follow a man. It's that God puts, you know, gives a man the message, and then the man gives the message to the people. And that's just how God's always worked, so that there can be clarity, and there can be one voice, really giving the message to the people. So even here in Corinth, and people are saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of this. But Christ isn't divided, so we all need to come to the same revelation and come to the same truth, because there is only one truth. It's not going to be this truth and that truth. It's going to be one truth, and that's under Christ. And Paul, he's continuing to say, like, you know, I'm glad, you know, that people weren't baptized in my name or this other person's name or that name, but we need to be baptized in Christ, in the name of Christ. So in verse 16, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. So he said, not with wisdom of words. So there he means, like, not just someone who maybe knows a lot of words, or is a really, maybe not always really like a really good speaker, or but just someone who has the truth. You know, it might not always be the most entertaining way to get through, or it might not always be some type of spectacle that maybe we'd assume it would be. You know, it's not wisdom of words, but it's actually wisdom of the Word. You know, it's not just wisdom of being able to put words together and make them sound good. Because there's plenty of, people who are like motivational speakers or public speakers, and they know how to talk, and they know how to really say things that can really encourage people and get a rise out of them. But that's not what we're looking for when it comes to the Word of God. We're looking for someone who actually knows the truth. It's not wisdom of words, it's the wisdom of the Word. And that's what we really need to focus on. It's not just someone who maybe can get up in the pulpit or in front of a group of people and sound good, and maybe they can say things that really sound good, and you think, wow, they really, they're really good at speaking and talking to the people. But someone who actually has a knowledge and understanding of what's actually in God's Word and what God requires of us as Christians, and what God's will is for us as Christians. So it's not just someone. It's not just, it's not a show. This Word, the Bible, what's preached here, what's preached to other message churches, it's not for show, it's not for entertainment. It's for the edifying of the saints. It's for the truth to be brought forth. And it's not, just for someone who has wisdom of words. I think it's called, people call it the gift of gab, where like people are just able to speak and they can say things very well, or they can make people laugh, or they have a way with words. But having a way with words when it comes to the Word of God, it's not good enough. We need someone who knows the truth. And they might have a stuttering problem. They might stammer. Even Moses wanted Aaron to speak for him because he just had a trouble speaking. But God still chose Moses to, deliver the word to his people, regardless of how Moses spoke or whatever the case may be. Because he gave Moses that revelation of the word, and that's what really matters. It's not that, you're a great speaker, or you're a great this or that, or even that, maybe everyone's your friend or whatever you may think might, bring you there. But it's really just knowing the word and accepting it in your heart, and accepting the knowledge and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life, so that you can actually have a revelation of the word and not just follow someone who is just, maybe a great motivational speaker, but doesn't have a true revelation. So it's not with the wisdom of words, but we need the wisdom of the Word to get us through. So let's continue in verse 17. For Christians sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So of none effect, that's why we need the wisdom of the words, so it's not made of none effect. So it has an effect on us. So if someone's just talking and maybe it sounds good, but it's not the truth, we might even feel good for a moment, but it's not really going to have an effect on our lives once we leave, But when the word's really been preached, it's going to have an effect on your life there and then and even after. And maybe for the rest of your life, what you got out of that one sermon might, permeate your entire Christian experience. So it's good to remember that. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? So, hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? So there's many things that people, may attain to. Maybe the world, glorifies, having a lot of money or having a lot of, relationships or partners or having, this or that, or having the nicest car or even having the nicest shoes or having a nice purse or your jacket or whatever the case may be, or maybe what the world glorifies is maybe we might see it as a certain way, but the world might see that these things are so great, like being a celebrity maybe or being in a movie, but those things are meaningless in God's eyes. Just all like having fame or having a lot of money, or all those things, what the world promotes as wisdom, as good, as a good thing, is the foolishness of God, is what God considers foolishness, God made made foolish the wisdom of this world. So, even sometimes when Brother Wade was talking about, people may sometimes will take science over the Word of God, that may seem like wisdom to the world, that, oh, well, this process of science that we can prove things with, you know, and if God can't be proved under science, then God isn't real, and things like that may be said, but those things are the wisdom of the world, but God has made them foolish because he's you know, subverted all of that. What we may consider wise is foolishness to God. What we may exalt, God may, you know, abase and put lower because, you know, those things aren't as valuable to God. We as Christians need to figure out what's valuable to God and, you know, become that and follow that as opposed to trying to look at the wisdom of the world, because it says here that, you know, God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. So we don't need to follow that. Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of good, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So even if we consider things like this, you know, that well, man can do this and man can do that, or we can, you know, and some people think, you know, we don't need that. Some especially in this age, people think that they're, you know, maybe above God and they don't need the ways of God, and that, you know, we've moved on from that. But they're saying the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So the things that, you know, the world may think are foolish, you know, or something about Christianity that they may think is foolish, that God's ways are wiser than men. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. Even the least of what we can get from God is wiser than anything that man can come up with. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. So the best that, you know, we could do on our own, you know, is can't even compare it to the, you know, the weakest thing that God could do. So that's why we always need to consider God, and we need to stay close to God in everything that we do. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So the thing, this is one of my personal favorite scriptures, is that God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You know, and the word confound, I think we've all been in school and taking a science class, but the word, I'm sure we're all familiar with what a confounding variable is in a scientific experiment, is where there's a variable in that experiment that, you know, kind of just throws the whole thing off, that the experiment can't go through or can't really be done or can't really be taken to the full conclusion because there's this confounding variable that just doesn't make sense and that we can't account for and that we can't, you know, we can't really measure in science, that we can't control it enough that a proper experiment can be done. But here he's saying that, you know, the foolish things of the world, he's used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So the things that may seem foolish to the world are infinitely valuable in ways that you know, maybe just the worldly wisdom can't understand, you know, or even just simple things like, you know, the way we dress or the way we, you know, conduct ourselves or the way we believe that marriage should be done and all these different things, just the law of God that we, you know, we do our best to follow, and those things may seem foolish to the world. Like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you wear that? You know, it looks uncomfortable or this or that, or why would you, you know, spend your time going to a church building on Sunday when you could just stay home and, you know, do something else with your free time? Or even paying tithes or all those things. Those things that just seem so foolish to, you know, maybe the people in the world that think, you know, they know better, that they're wiser, but there's just things that God has put in place that work and that continue to work and continue to benefit us in ways that, know, they just can't comprehend because they think it just doesn't make sense to them. They haven't had that revelation, but he's put the foolish things there to, you know, confound the wise. And same with sometimes with preachers or the way the word comes across, or even the story of, you know, the brother who was spoken to by a dumb donkey. It's like, how could that happen? How could a dumb donkey, you know, give you the word of God and tell you what to do with your life? So just many things like that, or the way God chooses to reveal himself, it just confounds the wise. Like, you know, because people sometimes think that that they know better than God, or they know better of what to do. And like, oh, well, if I was this, or I was that, if I was in charge, I would do things this way. And some people get that arrogant spirit about them. But God does things in a way that would confound the wisdom, you know, confound the people who think they're wise. And then it also says in that verse, he's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So that could even be considered people who are, you know, meek and humble. And even Brother Branham, and how meek and humble he was. And to think that, you know, or even the way Jesus came, you know, just as a baby in a manger. And people thought, oh, he'd come like on a chariot, and he'd be, you know, wrapped. He'd have clothing made of gold, and he'd be dressed in white. And he'd, you know, be this mighty person who could just do anything he wanted. He would just, you know, come through the land and just do whatever he wanted. But just the simple way he came as a man, you know, born by a virgin woman, just born in a manger. Just grew up, you know, and then was baptized, and then started doing miracles, and just the simple way he came, you know, just confounded the wisdom of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the in the religious world, just the ways that they thought he should have came, instead of the way he came, it confounds everything. So, the way they thought he should have came boldly and just came out, you know, rolling through the streets with chariots of fire and to take back the land. Or to take back the temples, you know, forcefully, like they almost thought of him as like he was going to be a general in an army, that he would just come back and conquer, you know, Rome or whatever they were thinking. But that's not how he came. He just came as a simple man, you know. And this in the temple he spoke of was spiritual, and it wasn't a physical temple that, you know, he's supposed to raise up or to build or any of those things. You know, it was just to restore the kingdom of God. And everyone's thinking it's a physical kingdom, that there's going to be a kingdom, but it's really a spiritual kingdom that he's speaking of. So the way that, and we do that sometimes in our lives, where we think, maybe we ask for something, or maybe we read the scriptures and we want it to come the way that we think it should come. But really we need to surrender to God's will and observe it the way that it is coming, and that it is revealed to us, you know, through the Holy Spirit. And not expect our way, or trying to enforce our way of thinking onto the word. Because that's how you get people saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of this, I'm of that. And when really they should just be, I'm of Christ. So when we start to take on our own ideas, that's when we get off the word. Is when we don't accept the word how it is, that's when we can get in trouble. So in verse 28, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So in anything that we do, anything that we gain, anything that, you know, anything good that happens to us, let us glory in the Lord. You know, there's a saying that says, you know, not a single leaf falls without the will of the Almighty. So if any blessings come to you, if any good thing happens to you, you know, make sure that you, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So it's good to remember that. God bless you. You're dismissed.